As all of you know, I made a bris this morning, and it was a great simcha for us, and to be able to share it together with our community was something that was very exciting. But there are many, many members of our community who asked, why would we make it, thank you, why would we make a bris at 6:30 in the morning? It seems very early. So number one, the real reason is because when I called the Mohel last Wednesday, he told me that there were 8 local brisim that were taking place this morning in Cedarhurst and Woodmere. So he said, either you're at 11 o'clock in the morning or you're at 6:30 in the morning. So that's what we were left with. That's the real answer. But besides for that, the other answer is because the Gemara tells us, when is one supposed to perform the mitzvah of bris milah? So we know the Torah says in Parshas Tazria Metzora, we are told, Isha ki tazria v'yalda zachar, when a woman conceives and then she has a baby, and it's a baby boy. We know, Bayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Arlaso, on the 8th day is when you're supposed to do the bris milah. Says the Gemara Maseches Megillah, what does it mean, the 8th day? 8th day means Bayom Velo Balayla. It has to be done Bayom Hashmini, on the 8th day during the daytime hours, and it cannot be performed at night. Says the Gemara, from here we learn, Zehaklal, any mitzvah, Kol Shem Mitzvaso Bayom, anything that has the opportunity to be performed or observed during the day, Mitzvaso Kasher Kalayom, you are able to do it the entirety of the day. So for example, we have to shake the Dalad Minim, Ulukachtem Lachem Bayom HaRishon. On the first day of Sukkot, we have to shake the Dalad Minim. When are you allowed to do that? Says the Gemara, the entirety of the day. Can you do it already at night? Says the Gemara, no, it has to be Bayom, it has to be during the day. And says the Gemara in the opposite direction, if you have a mitzvah that has to be done Balayla, let's say, Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos, we're told that on Lel HaSeder you have to eat matzah. When do I have to eat it? The moment Seis HaKochavim comes, or do I have to eat the matzah at some point over the course of the evening? Says the Gemara, if you have a mitzvah that is Bayom, it can be any time during the day. If you have a mitzvah that is Balayla, it can be any time during the night. Now, we know the Mishnah says in Maseches Brachos that when it comes to Kriya Shema, you're supposed to say it Balayla, but there is a restriction that Chazal put. They said you're supposed to say Kriya Shema at night, but you're supposed to make sure to say it before Chatzos. Why is that? Why is that? Because sometimes people fall asleep and then they forget. They're going to be tired at night. They're going to be busy doing other things and they're not going to remember. So Chazal said, even though technically when you have the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Balayla, you should be able to say it the entire duration of the evening hours. However, the Mishnah says that they restricted it, they limited it, and they said you have to make sure to say it before Chatzos HaLayla to make sure that you don't make a mistake. Now, although that is true, that you have an opportunity to do these mitzvahs the entirety of the day, so let's say Bris Milah can be the whole day, shaking the lulav can be the whole day, anything like that, reading the Megillah, all of that can be during the day, still the Gemara qualifies the statement in Maseches Yuma, Daf Chav Ches, and the Gemara says, we know that you can do the Milah the whole day, however, we have a halacha that Zrizim Magdimin LeMitzvos. One who tries to have alacrity, one who tries to do it as early as possible, is considered to be better off than somebody who waits until later on. How do we know that? Because we're told by Avraham Avinu when he was going out to start the journey of the Akedah, we are told by Yashkem Avraham Baboker that Avraham Avinu gets up early in the morning. Why does he get up early in the morning? First of all, you're going to do something difficult. So push it off a little bit. You're going to kill your son. You're so excited about it. The answer is, if this is the Tzivoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what the Ribono Shel Olam told me to do, Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Avram gets up early in the morning, and from here the Gemara learns the concept of Zrizim Makdimin LeMitzvos. And based on this halacha, the Shulchan Aruch writes the following, in Simen Reish Samach Beis in Yerodea, Kol Hayom Kasher LeMila, of course you can have the Bris Mila anytime during the day, Ela Shehazrizim Makdimin LeMitzvos. So here, the question becomes, we have the opportunity to do the mitzvah of Bris Milah. At what point would you say that you violate this notion of Zrizim Akdimin LeMitzvos? When do you cross that threshold? 5 minutes after sunrise? An hour after sunrise? Maybe we should be reasonable. I also have to daven. So maybe we should say, well, how long does davening take? You probably have to daven at Nates. And then once there's a reasonable amount of time after Nates that you could have finished davening, you have no excuse to push it off any further. Is that how that works? At what point do we say that your Zrizim Akdimin LeMitzvos is not being appreciated, is not being done properly? That is a big discussion in the poskim, which is something that they're not exactly clear about. Some poskim say that as long as you do it before Chatzos Hayom. So the Stechemet, I believe, writes that as long as you make sure that it's taken care of before Chatzos Hayom, that means you're not slacking off. It means you're not taking it lightly. It means you're doing your job seriously. And you don't have to wake up at the crack of dawn to make sure you do it right away. as long as it's done before Chatzos Hayom, then you are considered to be in fulfillment of this idea of Zrizim Magdim in the Mitzvos. Now, of course, if somebody did not have the opportunity to do it before Chatzos Hayom, you would do it for the entire duration of the day. What if you didn't have the chance to do it during the day, and now the first opportunity you have is Balayla, right? The mole gets stuck, his plane is delayed, he has traffic, he's not feeling well, and the only time he shows up is Balayla. So the Gemara says you cannot do the Mitzvah of Mila Balayla because the Pasuk says, Bayom Hashmini Yimol Bisar Arlasa. It doesn't only mean on the eighth day of the child's life, but it means Bayom, during the daytime hour. So this brings us to a major, major controversy that developed in the mid-1800s. There was a major familial dispute, if you'll say it that way, in the family of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He was the great leader of the Jewish people, but there were other members of his family who were also extremely prominent, but had a little bit of a different perspective than he had. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was, as we would call him today, a Litvak. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was a Misnagid. He was not part of the movement of Hasidus in the 1800s. However, he had a grandson, Rabbi Leibele Eiger, who actually learned by his grandfather. He was a Talmud of his grandfather, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but Rabbi Leibele Eiger was, later on in his life, became a Talmud of the Ishbitzer, who's known as the Me'a Shiloach, and of the Kutzker, Rabbi Nachum Mendel B'Kutz. So he became a Hasidish Rebbe. So here you had Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who's the leader of the generation, who's a misnagid as one can be, and he has a grandson, Rabbi Leibele Eiger, who turns out to become a Hasidish Rebbe. And there are a number of stories that are told about the relationship after he became a Chassid, how Rabbi Akiva Eiger dealt with him, and the stories in between. Very, very interesting. Now, Rabbi Leibele Eiger was known to be a Chassid all the way, which meant that he would do all the things that Chassidim sometimes do. So as we know, Chassidim make a lot of hachanas. Chassidim are very excited about hachana, which is a beautiful thing, that before you do a mitzvah, you shouldn't just run into the mitzvah, you should have time to understand, to think, which is where the whole paragraph of Hineni Muchan Umazuman comes from, that you think before you do something, you make sure that you're in the right frame of mind, you make sure you understand what it is that you're doing. You don't just haphazardly do a mitzvah. You make sure that you're prepared properly. Hachana is a very big idea in the world of Hasidus. Now, Rabbi Leibele Eiger was the great leader of his community, and at that time, Rabbi Leibele Eiger had a tremendous, overwhelming, deep love for mitzvos. And as part of that, he felt that you can't just run into a mitzvah, you have to get yourself into the right frame of mind, and you have to prepare yourself properly. Now, Rabbi Leibele Eiger used to serve as the mohel and the samdik, which is a very unusual feat. I actually once saw it many years ago. I have a cousin who made a bris in Square Town, in New Square, and the Skver Rebbe was the Moel and the Sandik on twins. My cousin had twin boys, and he was the Moel and the Sandik on twins. So they say, it's documented, that the old Hasidic Rebbes used to do both the Mila and the Sandikos at the same time. Somehow they held their legs up a little higher. I don't know exactly how they did it, but this is something that is documented. Now, it's a big question, how do they do that? If it says he's supposed to stand when you do the mitzvah of brismila, how can the moel and the sandik stand and do everything properly? Okay, whatever it is. Be it as it may, Rabbi Leibele Eiger used to serve both as the mohel and as the sandik. And Rabbi Leibele Eiger said that I have to prepare myself, but not just prepare myself. Listen, before I put on tefillin in the morning, I make hachanas, and before I daven, I make hachanas, before Shabbos, I make hachanas, all of that. But before brismila, he says, how am I going to be mekabel pnei Eliyo Mashiach Tzidkenu? How can I be mekabel the face of Eliyo Anavi, who comes to a bris, Eliyo Malach HaBris, if I'm not going to prepare myself extra special for that? This is not just an average mitzvah. This is more. I was telling my wife the other day that, you know, I just love the way people from Eretz Yisrael talk about things. They just have such a, in both directions. When they talk about things they're frustrated about, it's fascinating to hear the way they phrase it. But when they talk about beautiful things, it's just, they have a way with words. So I had a number of people from Eretz Yisrael who were close with who called to wish me Mazel Tov, and just the way they formulate their Mazel Tov is so special. Do you realize you have an neshama from Gan Eden in your house that didn't do an Aveira yet? Do you realize that your kids understand what's going on in the house? I'm thinking, like, imagine if we all live life like this, that when you have a little kid in the house, you're thinking there's someone from Gan Eden who just spent time with Malachim, who's learned all the Torah. Again, it's not the way we always think, but it's beautiful. So Rabbi Leibele Eiger understood when you come to a bris mila, it's not just a mitzvah, like any other, which of course would require its own preparation. But he said it's even more than that because Eliyahu HaNavi is present, and we need to make room for Eliyahu HaNavi and prepare ourselves properly before we greet him. So What happened? He used to make hachanos. Now, the problem was, he made such long hachanos that everybody was waiting around for the bris, and he didn't show up. But they waited and waited anyway because everybody wanted him to be the tzaddik. Now, why would you want him to be the tzaddik? Because it's known to be a great skula for the baby, that if you have a tzaddik who's a great tzaddik, who's a great person, so that individual will somehow give over some of their influence into the child. I was actually talking to my father. We have now six boys, B'li Ayin Hara, so it's become a little difficult figuring out who's going to be the tzaddik. I gave my father the first one. I gave my father-in-law the second one. Now what do you do? Right? So where do you go from there? So my father was the tzaddik a number of times so far, and I wasn't sure exactly who should do tzaddikos this time. So I called my father the other day, and I said, there's a Talmud Chacham who I know very well, who is a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a great tzaddik, but he's totally not matzliach. He's just not successful in what he does. So I said to my father, why don't I ask him to be the tzaddik, and it will give him chizuk, he'll be happy that I asked him, and oh, whatever. So my father said, why would you do that to your kid? Why would you do that? Why do you want your son to be influenced by someone who's not matzliach? Who cares that he's a big Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't do enough productive work with his chachma, so why would you do that? Anyway, so we didn't. So that's when I called Rabbi Naftali Yeager, who's very close with my in-laws. We're close with him as well. And he was here this morning to be the tzaddik. It was a great kavod to have him. So many people wanted to have Rabbi Leibel Yeager be the tzaddik. The problem is that he was doing so much hachana that by the time he showed up to the bris, it was already later in the day. So the Rav of the town in Lublin, where Rabbi Leibel Yeager lived, was a Jew by the name of Rabbi Yeshua Heschel Ashkenazi. It could be he was very famous. I don't know anything about him. I didn't do the research, but Rabbi Yeshua Heschel Ashkenazi was very upset, and he said, this is a violation of Zrizin Makdim and Lemitzvos. Of course, the Gemara says that you're allowed to do a bris milah the entire duration of the day, but why are we waiting around until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, an hour before the Shkia? Why are we waiting? Just because Rabbi Leibel Yeager wants to do his achanas? Let him start his achanas from 2 weeks ago. You can't, because the baby wasn't born, but let him make achanas before. Why is he making achanas the whole day and making everybody wait? And therefore, he said, this is a terrible practice. And he put out a public announcement, and he said, a cruz. This is all written up in a book that's about the toldos of Rabbi Leibel Yeager. So this story has a big section in the book where it talks about this whole controversy. So this Rabbi Yeshua Heschel Ashkenazi puts out a letter, and it's a open plea to the community to stop asking Rabbi Leibel Yeager to be the tzaddik and the moel because he's ruining every bris. He's making everybody wait, and it doesn't make sense. And then he said, anybody who asks him in the future to be the tzaddik or the moel is an avarian, is violating an avera by doing that. Why? Anyway, it turns out that this became a whole huge fight in the town, and there were some people who took it a little bit further. It wasn't just a disagreement about this. It then mushroomed into a disagreement about other things, and some people took it further. So far, that they went and they spread rumors about him. They went to the local authorities. They had him arrested. A whole story. They fabricated stories about him. The bottom line is, this became a major, major issue. And at the time, Rabbi Leibel Yeager turned to the other great tzaddikim in other communities and asked, am I correct? Should I stop doing what I'm doing? Or would you say that, no, the hachana is valuable enough that we should allow ourselves to push the bris milah a little bit later in order to come in properly prepared to do the mitzvah in the right way? Yeah.
Was it just inconveniencing everybody?
No, it wasn't. It was considered not to be an inconvenience because I don't think bris milah back then was the way it is today. They didn't have hundreds of people there. A couple of people came around and that was it. So it wasn't the issue of inconveniencing. It was more the issue of the fact that he was delaying the mitzvah of bris milah, which was something that was considered to be a great offense to the rabbi of the community. Anyway, so he sent a letter to a number of different great leaders at the time. And the Ger Rebbe at the time wrote a letter in defense of Rabbi Leibel Yeager's practice, which maybe doesn't count because the Ger Rebbe probably did the same thing. He also was one of the people of the school of thought that believed that you should have a lot of hachana. However, the personality that really got involved in this was his uncle, Rabbi Shimon Sofer. Rabbi Shimon Sofer was an uncle of Rabbi Leibel Yeager, and he shared his feelings. Rabbi Tzedek HaKoyim Lublin also had a lot to say about it. Anyway, this was a very big issue at the time. And the bottom line of all of that is that, yes, it's true. The Gemara does say in the beginning of Maseches Brachos that you should make sure to say Kriya Shema before Chatzos HaLaila because maybe you're going to forget. However, how am I going to forget to do the Bris Milah when the whole reason why I'm delayed is because I'm sitting and thinking about the Bris Milah? That doesn't make sense. That's not an argument. That's what Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin responded, or others responded the same thing. Normally, when Chazal say you have to make a geder, you have to restrict it to make sure you do it and don't get distracted, that's when you're going to be distracted. But here, my whole distraction is only that I'm focused singularly on this mitzvah. So how can anything bad come from that? There, Chazal would never say that you have to do it as early as possible. They would say, take your time, make sure you're doing everything properly, and then get to it in the proper time. And they bring a raya for this. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, I know that we're ready, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag. I know it's hard for some people in the room, I'm not going to say who, to believe that we're ready within the 30 days of Pesach. However, the Gemara says that within 30 days of Yom Tov, you have to already start thinking about Hilchos HaChag. I got a call that really almost made myself and my wife have a heart attack last week. You know this Argentinian hostage that got out miraculously a couple of weeks ago? Anyway, his daughters called me like a week and a half ago, and they said, you know, our father's being honored by a dinner in Florida. So we're going to come in with 22 members of our family. Would you be able to host all of us for Pesach? So I was like, you know, it would be amazing to have all of you for Yom Tov, but my wife is about to have a baby. I'm not sure we're going to have 22 of you. If anybody wants to sign up for the Schechter Pesach program, you're welcome to join us. But anyway, it was something that made me start reminding myself that it's already almost Yom Tov. It's already almost Pesach. L'maisa, we are going to have him next Matzai Shabbos. We changed all the travel plans. They will be here next Matzai Shabbos, and I hope everyone in our community will come and welcome them, give them the same welcome that we gave last week to Mia, who was here. It's an opportunity, such a Kiddush Hashem, such an opportunity for us. So 1 second. So here's the raya. The Gemara says, Himsachim, we have to make sure within Shloshim Yom we start talking about Pesach. So the Gemara obviously says we have a mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. When are you supposed to do Bedikas Chametz? Or Labra Asar. When is Or Labra Asar? Means Erev Pesach, at night. When do you do it? Right when you come home from shul. So the Gemara says you should make sure to do it right away. Don't waste time. Don't be busy with anything else. Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to have dinner beforehand. You have to come home and do the mitzvah B'dikas Chametz immediately on the night of Erev Pesach. Once it's dark outside, you have to go check your house. Now says the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, what happens if it's already Pesach, right? For whatever reason, I went away for Yom Tov, and now I had to fly back in the middle unexpectedly, and it turns out that here I am on Pesach in my house, and I have to do a bedika. Let's say, for example, you just came back from Florida. So let's say you left your apartment in Florida. You did a bedikas chametz? No, why not? Because you left more than 30 days before Pesach, or the apartment was clean anyway. But okay, you left more than 30 days before Pesach. You have no intention of going back over Yom Tov at all. You're probably going to sell the apartment for Pesach just in case there's chametz around, correct? And there's no reason to do bedikas chametz. Good? So you didn't do bedikas chametz. What happens if for some reason it gets very cold here over Yom Tov, and then you decide, you know what? I'm done with New York. The taxes are so high. The weather's terrible. It's raining. It's cold. Let me go back to Florida. And unexpectedly, you go back in the middle of Yom Tov. Now it turns out you're in your apartment. You didn't do a bedika. There's chametz all over the place. What are you going to do? Says the Gemara, you're allowed to be bodek as hachametz even after the time when the chametz is already usher. Hi, aren't we afraid? Maybe you're going to go and eat the chametz? What if you find a nice cookie on the floor somewhere? Again, I would never eat such a thing. But let's say you're the kind of person that would eat something that you found on the floor. What would you do? Says the Gemara, no, you're busy with the mitzvah bedika. You're walking around your house with a flashlight, with a candle. You're not going to make a mistake and eat the chametz now. So when you're doing something that your whole hisaskus, your whole mindset is focused on this one very issue, we're not concerned that in that kind of case you're going to make a mistake. And similarly over here, I think Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin is the one who argued from that Gemara. You could bring a proof to this as well. When do Chazal say maybe you have to be concerned that you're going to make a mistake and forget to do the mitzvah? That is when you have 100 other things going on. I walk into the house at night. I have to get my kids into the bath. I have to make dinner for them. I have to clean up the house. I have to get everyone to sleep. I'm going to forget to say Kriya Shema. Chazal said, therefore we say Kriya Shema right away. Don't make any mistakes. However, when the reason why I'm delaying is because I'm focused on this mitzvah itself, it's because all of my energy is preparing for this mitzvah, we don't have a concern in that kind of case that maybe you're going to miss the Zman and forget to do the Bris Milah Bayom. That's not going to happen. And that was the argument that they said. So the end of the letter that he writes is, Bishvil hachana lemitzvah, yuchal lehamshich yoser v'yochas tzadik darko v'tar yadayim Yosef ometz, lasos kedarko bakodesh. He gives him chizuk and he says, you should keep doing your thing, and it's beautiful to come into a mitzvah in this way. Va'al yachush lemar ishim. And don't allow your critics and detractors to come And B, mar ishim. What does that mean? Just to make noise. I remember Rabbi Beryl Wein met with me when I first came to the shul. I think he was visiting by his daughter, by Rabbi Teitelbaum and Mrs. Sari Teitelbaum. So I don't know how we got together, but it was right after I came here. And he said, just remember, take all the noise and just ignore them. Just keep moving ahead. He said it in a much more profound way. But that did stick with me. He said, a lot of times you're going to have people who are just going to make noise around you. Just ignore the noise and move forward. Keep moving forward. That's what you need to do. So that's what they told Rabbi Leibel Eger, that he too should do the same. Now, this, as we mentioned, was something that was a very big, this was a very big controversy, and it wasn't so clear. And part of the argument was that, in general, what do we say when we have a number of conflicting considerations that we need to think about whenever we do a mitzvah? As we mentioned, we have the idea of zrizim akdim in the mitzvah, which means do a mitzvah as soon as you can. On the other hand, we have the Gemara says, shihui mitzvahs lo mashinan. You should never make a mitzvah wait unnecessarily. And we have another factor, which is hider mitzvah, which is I should do a mitzvah in the most beautiful way possible. So take, for example, every month we have a mitzvah to say Kiddush Levana. When are we supposed to say Kiddush Levana? So the poskim say you're supposed to say it more than 3 days after the Molad, right? Not after the Rosh Chodesh. 3 days after the Molad is when you're supposed to say Kiddush Levana. Okay, so let's say that turns out to be on a Sunday evening. So should I go outside on Sunday evening and say Kiddush Levana right away? On the one hand, I should say, Zrizim Akdim in the Mitzvahs dictates, go do it right away at the first available opportunity, don't wait, and who knows what's going to be, and get it out of the way. Make sure you take care of the mitzvah. On the other hand, the Ramah himself, Paskins, in Siman Tav Chav Vav and Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says that you should wait to do the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana until Matzai Shabbos. Why should you wait to do it until Matzai Shabbos? Why should you wait? What do you mean? We have a minion from Arav every night. So, Rov Ham, you have a lot of people come every night. Tonight we have a program in the shul. Hundreds of people are going to be here. Thousands of people. No, I say Matzai Shabbos is less because everybody makes block minyan on Matzai Shabbos. Everyone has to run out as soon as Shabbos is over, right? So, why do we wait till Matzai Shabbos? It's not because of Berovam, and it's not because of a minyan, because we have that during the week also. So, why do we wait till Matzai Shabbos? The Ramah says the reason why is because everybody's going to be dressed in beautiful Shabbos clothing. Isn't it a hider mitzvah to say Kiddush Levana when you're wearing your Shabbos clothing? Isn't that nicer? I remember I used to say Kiddush Levana with my father every month. We would say it together after davening on Matzai Shabbos. And when I was a little kid, I remember he would ask me every single month the same question. He would say, Shai, do you need to stand up for Kiddush Levana? And I always wondered, how does he expect me to know the answer? I looked around, everybody's standing. So I said, yes, everyone has to stand. So he said, why? So I said, I have no idea. I don't know why we need to stand. So he said, okay, think about it. That was going on for years. He would ask me this question, do we have to stand? Until one day when I got old enough to understand the words, and I said, doesn't it say, Hilchach Tzarech L'Meimer Me'umad? Right? In the Nusach of Kiddush Levana, it says why we need to stand. He's like, yeah, that's all I wanted to see, whether you understand the words. So that was the Kiddush Levana to me always stands out. So we say Kiddush Levana on Matzah Shabbos. Why do we say it on Matzah Shabbos? Says the Ramah. The reason why is because if you have an option to say Kiddush Levana either in your weekday clothing or in your Shabbos clothing, isn't that a Hider Mitzvah to say it in your Shabbos clothing? Now, it's a strange application of Hider Mitzvah because Hider Mitzvah usually means when I'm buying an Esrog, I should buy a beautiful Esrog. When I'm buying a mezuzah, I should get a nice mezuzah. Here, when I'm saying the words of Kiddush Levana, I should say it while I'm wearing a nice Shabbos clothing. What does one have to do with the other? That's the same as explaining why we have a beautiful case for the Esrog, right? When I have an Esrog, I put it in a nice case. Why? That's not a hider of the mitzvah itself. The answer is I'm still enhancing. I'm showing that this is something that's exciting to me. I think one of the poskim has a question about whether or not we have a chiyuv to build a beautiful home. Why? Hider mitzvah for mezuzah. No? Your mezuzah has to be on a nice home. Shouldn't be on a broken down home. It should be on a nice home. So maybe that will justify the nice homes in our community. Everybody only built them because they understood. You first need to have a mezuzah which has a nice place for itself to land. So we got to build a nice home. What are we going to do? Someone once told me a story about the... sorry, this is off topic, but it's a funny story. Somebody told me that there was a Jew in New Jersey who built a very beautiful home in Shaarei Chesed, very elaborate. And he knew that Reb Chaim Kanievsky used to come from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim every year on the first night of Chol HaMoed Pesach and Sukkos. He He would come to Yerushalayim to go daven in the old city and to visit his father-in-law. So anyway, somehow he worked it out that Reb Chaim Kanievsky would come to his house and he was going to hang up the mezuzah in the house on the front door. Okay, so he invited Reb Chaim and the family came after they made their rounds in Yerushalayim. He showed up to the house and he asked Reb Chaim to hang up the mezuzah. Reb Chaim said, fine. He hung it up and then he said, oh, once you're here, why don't we show you around the house and you'll tell me which. It's not so easy to figure out where you always hang up a mezuzah. Sometimes it's this side, the other side, higher, lower. So he starts walking around the house with him and showing him where the mezuzah should be hung up. They get to a certain room, which I think he said was his study, and there were drop ceilings and one doorway in front of another doorway and a complicated structure of a room. And he asked Reb Chaim, so where do you put up the mezuzah here? And Reb Chaim says, I don't know, this is really a big suffix, I'm not sure. And he started to chuckle, he started to laugh. So they left the room. So then Reb Chaim's son turned to his father and he said, I don't understand, what's so funny? So he said, what's funny is he doesn't understand what I meant. I said it's a suffix. What does it mean it's a suffix? He thinks it means a suffix where to put the mezuzah. What I meant is, it's a suffix whether you can live in this house. Who would live in a house where you don't know where to put up a mezuzah? What, are you crazy? You're going to build a house where you don't know where to put up a mezuzah? How can you have such a house? The starting point for Reb Chaim was, you put up a mezuzah. Now you build a house around it. You figure out how you're going to reconfigure the rooms to make sure the mezuzah is comfortable. It's not always the starting point for all of us. So the question here is, when you have an opportunity to do the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana, so the Rama says you should wait to do Kiddush Levana till Matzah Shabbos, even though Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday all passed. But still, since I have the opportunity to do it with Hidur Mitzvah is more important than the other factor of Zerizim Akdim and the Mitzvahs. So that's a question. If I'm going to make a Bris Mila 6:30 in the morning, and I can either do it that way and have very few people there because who wants to wake up so early, or I can do the Bris Mila at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and everybody will come and have lunch, and it's the time when everyone's off from work, whatever. Maybe that should be a better time to do it because Berovam Hadros Melach, I have more of a Hidur Mitzvah that way. Maybe I should do that. So is that psak that the Rama gives by Kiddush Levana, is that the anomaly? Or is that the exception to the rule? Or is that the rule itself? And we should say that in every other case where you have an opportunity to enhance a mitzvah, maybe it's more important that you enhance the mitzvah as best as you can, as opposed to doing it as quickly as you can. And that's exactly what the issue was over here with Reb Leib Eger. Would you say, well, I'm making all of my hachanos, which means the mitzvah that ultimately I'm going to end up doing at 5 o'clock in the afternoon by the Bris Mila is going to be much more enhanced, it's going to be a beautiful mitzvah more than it otherwise would have been. Would we prefer that? Or would we say, no, that's not the way to go. It would be better for us to do the mitzvah right away, even if it means we're not going to do it perfectly, it's not going to be as beautiful, it's not going to be as enhanced, but we should do it right away. That is the major question. There's a stira in the Rama. Over there in Hilchos Kiddush Levana, the Rama says that we should make sure to wait for Kiddush Levana, and we should not do it right away, even though that means we are going to violate Zerizim Makdim and the Mitzvahs. However, in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama writes in Simen Chafhei, which is Hilchos Tefillin, the following. When do you put on your talus in the morning, and when do you put on your tefillin? Which one comes first? Talus first. Why is talus first? So two reasons. The Beis Yosef says two reasons. Number one, because tadr sheino tadr, because talus you wear every day, and tefillin you don't wear on Shabbos. And on the other hand, the second reason is because Malim Makodesh ve'emoridin. The talus is on a lower level of Kedusha than the tefillin. The tefillin has parshios of the Sefer Torah in it. So the tefillin is considered to be holier than the talus. So because of those two reasons, the Beis Yosef writes, a man is supposed to put on his talus first, and only then should he put on his tefillin. Now, says the Rama, what if I have the tefillin here, and I don't find my talus? And it turns out somebody borrowed my talus, and now I'm going to have to wait 5 or 10 minutes for the talus to come back. Whatever, till they get back from wherever they are. Should I put on my tefillin now without the talus, or should I wait and put on both in the proper order later? So what do you say? Says the Rama, why would you wait? Put on your tefillin. If that's all you have, put your tefillin on, and you put the talus on when it gets here. But it will be more of a hidur mitzvah to do it the right way. But yet the Rama says, we don't wait. So why is it that by talus and tefillin, he doesn't say the same thing that he says by Kiddush Levana? How come by Kiddush Levana, he says, no, it's worthwhile to wait, because if you wait, you're going to have the mitzvah done in a more enhanced fashion. It's going to be nicer. It's going to be more beautiful because you're wearing Shabbos clothing, Rav Hamadras Melech, whatever it might be. All of that is great. Why is it that he doesn't have the same logic when it comes to the mitzvah of talus and tefillin, where there he says if a person ends up having only his tefillin but not his talus, he would say that we should put on the tefillin and forget about the talus. When the talus comes, you'll do it later. Why is that the case? So this is a big discussion in the poskim. What is the story with these two Ramas? Seems to be a stira. Which one is the rule? Which one's the exception to the rule? And from there, you have to figure out how that applies to every other case where these conflicts come up as well. So one second, we had two questions. Your question first.
Yeah,